Yeti people, and welcome to Simply Science, the podcast that answers big science questions in little ways. I'm your host, Maddie, and thank you so much for joining us or rejoining us here today. So, I have a short episode for you with a little local twist with the now ex-tropical cyclone Alfred. I figured we could take the chance to unpack everything cyclone, whether that be how they're formed or classified, why they occur, why their classification changes so quickly, and also how they're named. So, for a bit of context for our non-Southeast Queensland locals, us Southeast Queenslanders have been braced for impact this last week. School was cancelled, businesses and public transport shut down, and everybody anxiously prepared for what was promised to be the worst cyclone we had seen in this area in this millennium. Now, I want to first acknowledge the hard work done by volunteers at crisis centres, local community organisations, first responders, and anyone who helped with the preventative effort in getting Queensland prepared. There was a lot of scared people out there, and I think the way Queensland handled it was very good. But now, back to what cyclones actually are, scientifically. So, they are defined as powerful weather systems that can cause significant damage to built and natural environments. So that generally intensify over a few days, generating severe winds, strong rain, storm surges, and flooding. The classification of a cyclone only actually exists in the southern hemisphere, as in the northern hemisphere, they're called typhoons and hurricanes, but not cyclones, because they rotate in opposite directions. So cyclones go in a clockwise direction, due to the Coriolis force, caused by the Earth's rotation and where we are in relation to the equator. This is what differentiates cyclones from typhoons and hurricanes, as they rotate anti-clockwise. It's all about the rotation of them, and it actually really impacts the way that they're formed and the way that they affect people. So, now we know what they are, and we feel the damage they cause. But how do these suckers form in the first place? Turns out that tropical cyclones need a very specific set of environmental conditions to form. The perfect storm, if you will. Pardon the pun. So cyclones form over oceans. More specifically, large flat areas in oceans that have a sustained surface temperature above 26.5 degrees Celsius over a prolonged period. This ocean surface temperature then warms the air above it, causing it to expand, then rise, as hot air rises. Cyclones also need wind to start, specifically low altitude wind that moves in and pushes the hot air even further up by replacing the already heated air with cold wind air. The hot ocean causes the new air, the cold air from the wind, to heat up, warming it, expanding it, and making it rise. This cycle continues as wind continues to flow and air continues to heat. And this is the initial part of the formation of a cyclone. Going on from there, when hot air is rising and expanding, it brings with it water from the ocean surface, which evaporates as water particles in the air, adding density to and making it water vapor. The water vapor then fuels this next step. So, the next step occurs at approximately 10 kilometres above the sea surface, where the atmospheric conditions change due to the lower air pressure. The lower air pressure makes it colder, like how you can see the snow at the top of the mountains, but then on the ground, there's nothing there. They are physically colder due to the lower pressure. So the air slash evaporated water vapor begins to form clouds as it condenses in these lower pressure systems at these high altitudes and rises in the colder environment. These clouds just get bigger and bigger as more hot air continues to rise. It rises, cools 10 kilometers up into the atmosphere, and then these denser clouds end up floating between 12 kilometers to 15 kilometers above us. So this cycle just keeps continuing, and at some point the cyclone begins to create his own energy as water particles condense, releasing energy through latent heat, effectively making its own energy source that continues to power it, heat it, and allow for that condensation. This makes cyclone have energy in the self-sustaining heat cycle, making it grow and grow while it's still over ocean water. While moving over the water, cyclones like Alfred spin in their clockwise directions, in this case towards land, but more specifically the central east coast of Australia. It's important to note, in regards to cyclones creating their own energy, that we're not speaking about lightning and the incorporation of electricity in low pressure systems. This is purely energy, as in kilojoules, that then powers its continuation and growth. But there is one more buzzword we need to cover in regards to cyclones, and that is the eye of the cyclone, or the eye of the storm. So, as it's spinning clockwise, as a large cloud of wind, rain, and heat, the eye is the barren center to all the spinning. It's effectively the center of the pinwheel as it just keeps going clockwise. So the eye has the lowest pressure of any part of the cyclone. You may have heard of low pressure systems, which effectively means that the air is being sucked up. So the lower the pressure of the system when compared to our normal surface earth air pressure, the stronger the winds. So the greater the gap causes the winds around the eye to speed up and get stronger. So that was a very big explanation that can sound very overwhelming when listening to it. So I suggest looking up at some diagrams for some further understanding, because this is very much a diagrams topic, but I still wanted to cover it here today. So, well, now we know how they are formed, but how are these things classified? We know that Alfred started as category 2, a 2 out of 5 in terms of cyclones, with 1 being the weakest and 5 the strongest. So these categories are solely based on wind speed, not storm surges or rain, but they're still a very good indicator of the severity of the cyclone. Alfred as an initial category 2 means that the average wind speed was between 89 to 117 kilometers per hour, with occasional gusts at speeds up to 164 kilometers an hour. That being said, Alfred is no longer a category 2. In fact, it isn't even considered a cyclone at this time, on the day that it was predicted to hit us. Alfred reduced to a Category 1 in the early hours of Saturday, March 8th, with it being reduced to a tropical low several hours after that. But how did this big ex-tropical cyclone that we were all so terrified for hitting just reduce? Other than an act of God, there's a lot of reasons it could be. But they all come down to a loss of energy. Cyclones lose energy for a few key reasons. Whether that be moving over land, this disrupts their structure and cuts off the fuel source of warm ocean air. Think of it like using your phone while connected to a phone charger versus taking it off. When it's not connected to a phone charger, it can still run, but it's on a finite amount. Whereas if it's on a phone charger, it's on an infinite amount. It can just keep being used. But that's what happens when cyclones move overland. They lose that source. Also, passing over cooler waters deprives them of the heat needed to sustain their strength. Again, depriving them of that fuel source. And dry air can enter the system. So this reduces the cyclone's ability to generate clouds and moisture. It all comes down to inhibiting the processes that allow it to get bigger and bigger. And over time, it'll just deteriorate naturally. Now, on a random sidebar, has anyone else wondered how cyclones get their names? I'd read a little bit about it, but the more I read into it, the more fascinating I found the very specific classifications for it. So, the World Meteorological Organization assigns names from rotating lists for different ocean basins. So the names are all in alphabetical order and alternate from male to female each time. And names are retired if a cyclone is particularly deadly or destructive. Like Australia's Cyclone Tracy in 1974, which devastated Darwin and changed Australia's disaster preparedness forever. So a cyclone can no longer be called Tracy, and a new name of that same gender, starting with the same letter, must have been approved. Wild, huh? So, as far as Alfred goes, it's still unknown if it'll be cracked out again for later use, as we wait to see his damage, but only time will tell. Also, funnily enough, tropical cyclones are slightly decreasing in frequency as we further into the 21st century. And this is due to something very interesting, climate change. We often see this increase the rates of things, but not decrease. However, the reason climate change is impacting the formation of these cyclones is that the difference between ocean temperature and air temperature is lessening as air temperatures progressively get hotter. This makes their formation a lot harder if we think back to how they're actually made. as the difference in the temperature is really important to giving them that energy and effectively kickstarting their setups. But that being said, cyclones are predicted to be getting stronger as time goes on, despite the fact that their frequency is lesser. So there'll be less of them, but when we do get them, they are likely to be a lot stronger. This is again because climate change impacts atmospheric balance and temperatures. So it's sort of a win-lose situation. I just thought it was interesting to note. But while ex-tropical cyclone Alfred was hopefully the mostly dodged bullet, it is a reminder of how powerful nature and ecology can be. And the more that we know about these systems, the better we can prepare for future storms and make sense of news reports and fake news as it's so rampant now. But thank you for tuning in to Simply Science. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and share with your fellow science nerds. And until next time, stay curious and stay safe. See ya!